السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the second in the series of khutab approaching Ramadan. Inshallah, we have one more before Ramadan is with us. I want to begin with a reminder about Shaban, which we are now in. Usama bin Zaid radiallahu anhu reported, and he said that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I do not see you fasting in any month as much as you fast during Shaban." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It is a month that people neglect between Rajab and Ramadan. It is a month in which the deeds are raised to the Rabb of the worlds, and I like my deeds to be raised when I am fasting." And this is in Sunan Nasai. So let's take advantage of this time that we have left in this month, which is roughly about 2 weeks more before we meet Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about real success. The success that is never ending, the success after which there is no new exam, the success for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this dunya and made this life of this world a place of test and a place to earn the reward of the akhirah. The first and most critical condition of being a jannati, of being among the people of Jannah, is to be a muttaqi, a person of taqwa. It is good to remind ourselves that all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and reward are for the mu'minun and muttaqun, not for the muslimun. Being a Muslim is only the entry point, it's the entry condition to attain levels with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, darajat with Allah. One has to make effort to enter that blessed group of people who will be honored and entered into Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us in that group, inshaAllah. And remember that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will decide who is a muttaqi. It's not a matter of either one proclaiming it for himself or his friends, or followers proclaiming it for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to have taqwa, to fear his displeasure and be aware of his presence in the ayah that we hear in every Jumu'ah khutbah, when he said, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun." In Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, "O you who believe, fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have Allah's taqwa as he should be feared. Have his taqwa as it is his right that you should have this taqwa. And do not die except in a state of Islam as Muslims." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Muslims to develop a state of mind and heart where they fear to displease him, Jalla Jalaluhu, as it is his right that people should fear to displease him. And he told the Muslims to make sure that they don't die except in a state of complete submission to him. This is the meaning of fearing Allah. I make this point because fear produces hate. We hate the things that we fear. But with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this as one of the criteria of the Muslim, of the mu'min, where he said, "وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ." Allah said the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and anything else. So the fear of Allah is the fear of displeasing him, because we love Allah above all else. And so we fear displeasing him more than anything else. Anyone who deliberately disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that he does not love Allah. So there is no need for any confusion between fear of Allah and love of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us how to develop the taqwa and gave us the means to do it. He made fasting fard upon us so that we can develop taqwa. And he said, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." He said, "O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become al-muttaqun." We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of taqwa to make us muttaqoon insha'Allah. As we can see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to have taqwa and then showed us how to develop taqwa by fasting. Once a Muslim develops taqwa, then his submission to Allah is assured. And so the second part of the ayah becomes possible. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. The secret of obedience is to obey without question. It is not obedience without understanding. The understanding when obeying any command of Allah is to understand who Allah is, not necessarily the logic behind the command. To understand any logic, a particular level of knowledge in that science is required. In the case of the logic behind the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, the slave can never claim to have knowledge that is required to understand the logic behind every command. If you consider for a moment, you will realize that we apply this principle when we deal with experts in any field where we don't have expertise. We believe the expert and follow his advice even when we don't understand exactly why he is saying what he is saying, only because we trust two things: his expertise and the fact that he has our best interest at heart. But with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commands and the teachings of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we insist on using our understanding as a precursor to obedience. This is a major trap that most of our so-called intellectuals fall into. They get lost in trying to understand the logic of the command and forget who is commanding it. That is why Ramadan comes to emphasize the fact that the Muslim obeys because Allah commanded it. And that makes sense to him, even if he doesn't always understand the logic behind the command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made some things halal and some things haram. But in Ramadan, during the hours of daylight, he jalla jalaluhu made even things which are ordinarily halal, haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal whatever is good and beneficial for the slave, and haram whatever is evil and harmful for the slave. We forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala neither benefits nor is harmed by anything, and so he has nothing to gain or lose. It is his mercy which drives the decision to show us what is harmful and beneficial for us. But in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even makes haram what is normally halal. When the Muslim obeys Allah and fasts, he is essentially doing something which makes sense only when one understands whose command it is. It is emphasized for the Muslim that if he obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during Ramadan and stayed away even from halal, then how much more important it is for him to stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited and made haram during the whole of the year. And that's why it's so critical to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be concerned about his pleasure and approval for all that we say or do, because to him is our return. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to reiterate this to us every year, that we are the slaves of Allah, and in being true to that is our salvation. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to teach us ubudiyah, to teach us obedience. It comes to teach us the meaning of being Abdullah and Amatullah, and to do that because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above all else. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so what does it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us Ramadan again and again, year after year, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible for us to be in Ramadan in a state of good health and able to do what he has ordered us to do. How much do we need to thank Allah for this? I remind myself and you to reflect on those who were with us last Ramadan but who are not with us this Ramadan. I remind myself that maybe this is my last Ramadan, that I will not be with you next Ramadan. How then must I spend this Ramadan? If this is the last Ramadan of my life, how must I spend it? What else is the meaning of the hadith of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he said, remember your death most often? He didn't tell us to remember our death once in a year. He told us to remember our death many times a day. I am saying let us remember it at least once in a year before the coming of Ramadan, and say that if I get this Ramadan, perhaps this is the last Ramadan that I will have. In which case, how must I spend this Ramadan? So what is the benefit of being a muttaqi? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu began his book with the promise of hidayah for the muttaqoon, where he said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. He said, this is the book, the Quran, in which there is no doubt. And it's a guidance for those who are al-muttaqoon. In Surah Al-Fatiha, before that, he ordered us to ask for hidayat, guidance. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. And here in the next surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, he said that such guidance is only for those who fear to displease him, the muttaqoon. Thereby, righteousness, صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, istiqamat fi din, has been defined as the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Sirat al-Mustaqim is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the first among the muttaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that eventual final success is only for the muttaqoon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاسْبِرُوا إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْآقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Musa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Araf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Musa said to his people, seek the help of Allah, ask for the help of Allah, isti'anat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be patient, have sabr. Verily, the earth belongs to Allah, and He gives it as the virasat, as the heritage, to whomever He wills of His slaves. And the blessed, and the end, the blessed end is for the muttaqoon. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this for ourselves, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensured us that success is His to give, and that He gives it to those who are just and who fear to displease Him, al-muttaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْآقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah said, the home of the hereafter, Jannah, we shall assign to those who do not rebel against the truth with pride and oppression. Who do not rebel against the truth with pride and oppression in the land, nor who do mischief by committing crimes. And the good end, the aqibat, is for the muttaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised His help for those who have taqwa and who strive to do their best for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muhsinoon, by honoring them with His presence, with His ma'iyat, and said, Inna Allaha ma'a alladhina taqaw وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who fear Him, who are muttaqoon, who fear to displease Him, and those who are muhsinoon, those who are people of ihsan. My brothers and sisters, ask yourself, what is the value of the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ma'iyat is the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awareness of the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, in a way that pleases His grace and majesty. Taqwa is the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ihsan is to strive to do what it takes to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the relationship between taqwa and ihsan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allaha ma'al ladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. Allah is with those who have taqwa and with those who work to a level of excellence to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what al-ihsan is. The best example of this is to consider the command to pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to establish the salah. To do that is a sign of taqwa. We establish salah to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in obedience to His command to do so. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us how to do it when he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray as you see me pray. And then he said about the internal state of that prayer. He said about the internal state of that prayer, Antabudallaha ka annaka tara, fa illam takun tara, fa innahu yarak. He said to pray as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And though you cannot see Him, to know that He sees you. This level of concentration is the level of ihsan. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do our best in terms of effort and then to take the help of salah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He is with those who have taqwa and work at achieving ihsan. Where He said, Jalla jalaluhu, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sta'inu bis sabri was salat. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. He said, O you who believe, seek the help in sabr and as salah. In salah, in meaning the prayer, and meaning salah as in dua. Truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with as sabirin. Allah is with the people who have sabr. Sabr is the way to reach the level of al-ihsan. Because sabr means to do the best that you can do. Sabr is not merely patiently sitting and waiting for things to happen. This is illustrated in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam many times. Perhaps the best of which is to reflect on the battle of Badr. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the battlefield. He did everything that he could possibly do to prepare for the battle. And then and only then did he stand in salah to make dua. And that is why sabr has been mentioned before salah, before dua. Because Islam is a religion of action. We have to do something to get something. And that is why salah, dua is mentioned after sabr. So that we don't start believing that the result was the consequence of our actions. See the positioning of these two things. Sabr is positioned before salah so that the focus is on the action. But then salah is positioned after sabr so that we don't start believing that the result came because of our action. The salah puts things in perspective, that we make the effort as is the law of this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that law which he mentioned, where he said, "Wa allaysa lil insani illa ma sa'a." He said that man can achieve nothing except that which he strives for, except that which he works for. But having done that, we recognize and accept that results come only by the grace and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and not because of our efforts. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Allah said, but you cannot will unless Allah wills. Verily, Allah is ever all-knowing and all-wise. So salah ensures the tawheed of the heart, which we know as tawakkul. Tawakkul is the tawheed of the heart, where the slave makes the effort only to please Allah and to fulfill the condition of the natural laws that Allah created, but knows that success comes only from Allah, who is not subject to the laws that He created. Tawakkul is a sign of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, we come back to the issue of salah and sabr, and ensure that we make dua with the complete and total understanding that the effort we made is not going to cause the result, but it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And that's why I say that salah ensures the tawheed of the heart. And that's why after making the effort, the slave does not rely on the effort, but stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. And when he does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised not only his help, but said that he would be with that person. What more can we ask? Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah did not say, I will help the sabirin. Allah said, I am with the sabirin. There is a huge difference, and I have mentioned this again and again, between being promised help by the king and between the king saying, I am with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqq, la ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malikul Haqq. He is the only king, and the only king of who is the king, the true king. It is to teach these lessons that Ramadan al-Kareem comes. As a reminder, every year we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the eyes of our hearts, to recognize His bounty and to give us the health and the time and the tawfiq to take full advantage of this great month and all that it has to offer. My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned again and again, the month will come year after year until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to keep the earth and to keep people on the earth. That is not a matter of doubt. The real matter of doubt is whether we will be there. And the difference is to differentiate in our minds between we entering Ramadan and Ramadan entering us. That is the differentiator. If we enter Ramadan, then we will exit Ramadan. Then Ramadan is a date. From the first of Ramadan to the first of Shawwal is a month. And we enter Ramadan and we will leave Ramadan. And nothing will change in our lives. But if Ramadan enters us, then inshallah al-musta'an, it will be from the moment Ramadan enters us, which need not be the first of Ramadan, which can and should be today, because that's when the reminder is coming, till the last day that we are on this earth. Then Ramadan al-Kareem will be inside us. What is the meaning of that? It means that our entire life will be lived in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Not because of force, not bil karaha, but bil shauq. With great love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And that's what will bring tawakkul in our lives. Complete and total trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a modicum of doubt. And that trust, that tawakkul is what brings peace of mind. Why did Allah say, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub? Because Allah said, verily in the dhikr of Allah is the itminan of the qalb. But there are two steps between the dhikr of Allah and itminan of the qalb. And those two steps are the awakening of taqwa. And because of taqwa, the awakening of tawakkul. The dhikr of Allah, the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminds us to have taqwa and never to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we have taqwa, then taqwa produces tawakkul, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the trust is what produces the itminalul qalb. That trust is what produces that peace of mind, which is what every person is searching for in this world. Imagine what kind of life, where people are searching for this itminalul qalb over and over again. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to get that. And that's so easy, bi dhikrillah, by the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to remind us of that. Remember what happens in Ramadan and what we will see. We will see this masjid filled to capacity, inshallah, like we see every year. And more than capacity. We will see 3, 4, 5 safs, even without the itikaf time, even before itikaf. 3, 4, 5 safs of people in this masjid for Salatul Fajr. Like we see every time. In itikaf, we see this masjid looking like a railway station. Yeah? After Salatul Fajr, when people go and hit the sack, we have people filled in this masjid. In the Qiyamul Layl, we see this masjid, an entire parking lot filled with people. We see, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless the Qurra who come and recite. We hear their recitation. We hear people weeping for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hear their dua. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all those duas. But the same masjid, what do we see on the day of Eid, Salatul Fajr? Back to the same 15 people. Back to the same 8 people. Back to the same 4 people. I have prayed in this masjid Salatul Fajr with one boy behind me. One boy. Huh? May Allah bless him and his parents for sending him. It was pouring with rain. And I sensed something behind me. And for a moment I thought this is some other form of life. And then I thought, wallah, if he comes and stands behind me, let it be any form of life. What do I care? But then I found it's the same form of life as me. Is little Faisal. He was little at that time. He's grown up now. Faisal. Alone. Mushtaq bhai's son. Standing in Salatul Fajr behind me. Same masjid. Where you don't have standing place. Now we feel very happy in Ramadan, Qiyamul Layl. No place to stand. Cars parked, the whole road from here to there, road people getting out of this parking lot takes an hour. And one day one of my uncles phoned me at 3 o'clock. And I just want you to know that just now I got out of the parking lot. I said, wallah, you should have just come up to my house, had lunch, slept and peacefully gone at 4 o'clock. So what should we be? Should we be happy or not happy? Huh? I'm not being ungrateful to Allah. I'm just saying that the masajid of Allah were not created to be populated in Ramadan and to be depopulated after Eid. I've said this before and I say it again. If the masjid had a voice, and wallahi it has a voice, it will call the day of Eid not a day of rejoicing, but a day of mourning, a day of grief. Because the masjid knows that it is going to be empty now for another 11 months. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Empty for another 11 months. Yeah? That's why people keep asking me, why don't you extend this masjid? I said, for what? For 10 days? It's not worth extending. To extend a masjid for 10 days of people to come? To extend a masjid for one day in a week for people to come? We don't need that. My brothers and sisters, the idea of reminders is to take heed. The idea of reminders is to change our lives. Because remember, if we listen to reminders and we don't change our lives, that reminder will become a hujjat against us on the day of judgment. And don't think you can escape those reminders by not coming to the masjid. No, the reminder has already come. The reminder came in the 5th century. And it was given by Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no need for anyone to give any other reminder till the day of judgment. The reminder of the Nabi is enough for all of mankind till the day of judgment. This is the reminders that we have been asked to give. As Muslims, we have been told to remind each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wadhakkir.
Wadhakkir fa inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'mineen.
Allah said, remind each other because the dhikr benefits the mu'mineen. We have been told to take the message to the people, not because there is a ihtiyaj for this, not because there is a need for this. This has been given to us to honor us. This has been given to us. It has been given to you because you are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not, Allah does not need this. Muhammad Rasulullah's message sallallahu alaihi wasallam is complete. If no one gives the da'wat of Islam till the day of judgment, it will not make any difference. Because the message of Allah has come already. So do not think that you are doing a favor to Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam by doing the work of da'wah. It's no favor. It's a favor to yourself. It's a favor to yourself. It's an honor that has been given to us. So when we receive this honor, let us treat it as an honor. Let us make a niyyah now that we will change our lives. Go home and sit down and take stock. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, you owe this to yourself. Do not shortchange yourself. You owe this to yourself. It's not for me. It's not for anybody else. You owe it to yourself. Go home and sit down. Put away the phone, put away everything else. Sit down and make a list. It's like looking in the mirror and saying, do I need a haircut or do I not need a haircut? Take a snapshot of yourself today as I am sitting and standing now. What am I? Where am I disobeying Allah? Where am I not following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Make a list, be true to yourself. And then change that. Don't worry about the world. Not a single one of those people who either praise you or who do not praise you. None of them will come into your qabr. None of them will come into my qabr. We and you and I are going to stand alone before Allah Jalla Jalalu. Only and only with our deeds. So focus only on your deeds. Not on anybody. Not on anybody. That is the purpose of Ramadan. That is the purpose of Ramadan. To focus on our deeds. Ramadan is a point of action, not a point of belief. It is not sufficient to say, I believe fasting is for. It is required to fast, to actually do the deed. So let us focus on our deeds. And let us make sure that we do those things which are beneficial to us, and we do not do those things which will harm us. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about that day which we will all come to, and He described the scene that we will see. And He mentioned those two groups, those who have taqwa and those who don't. And He told us what their ending will be. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who have taqwa and to decree for us the ending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the conditions of the Day of Judgment, where He said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل فغير الله تامروني أعبد أيها الجاهلون ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين بل الله فاعبد وكن من الشاكرين وما قدر الله حق قدره والأرض جميعا قبضته يوم القيامة والسماوات مطويات بيمينه سبحانه وتعالى عما يشركون ونفخ في الصور فصيق من في السماوات ومن في الأرض إلا من شاء الله ثم نفخ فيه أخرى فإذا هم قيام ينظرون وأشرقت الأرض بنور ربها ووضع الكتاب وجيء بالنبيين والشهداء وقضي بينهم بالحق وهم لا يظلمون ووفيت كل نفس ما عملت وهو أعلم بما يفعلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the polytheists and to those who do not worship Allah, do you order me to worship other than Allah? Ayyuhal jahilun, O you people without knowledge, O you fools. And indeed it has been revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it was revealed to those of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messengers before you. If you join others in worship with Allah, then surely all your deeds will be in vain, and you will certainly be among the losers. No, but worship Allah alone and be among the grateful. Mina Shakirin, may Allah make us among those who are grateful. And then Allah says, they did not value Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as is due to Him. Do we value Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we value Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it is His right that He should be valued? Do we have the qadr of Allah as it is His right that we should have His qadr? Allah says they did not value Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such as is due to Him. And on the day of resurrection, the whole of the earth will be grasped by His hand, and the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. Glorified is He, and high is He above all that they associate as partners with Him. And the sur, the trumpet, will be blown, and all who are in the heavens and all who are on the earth will die, will swoon away, except Him who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And then this sur, this trumpet, will be blown a second time, and behold, they will be standing, looking on and waiting. And the earth will shine with the light of its Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And the book will be placed open, and the prophets and the witnesses will be brought forward, and it will be judged between them with truth, and they will not be wronged. And each person will be paid in full for what he did, and He, Jalla Jalaluhu, is best aware of what they do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover us with His mercy and with His lihaf and with His cover on the day of judgment as He has covered us today, so that our evil and our sins and our transgressions are not visible to the world, just as He hid them here. We ask Allah to hide them when we meet Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described those who will be people without taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَتُلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا قَالُوا بَلَى وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who disbelieved will be driven to the Jahannam in groups, till when they reach it, the gates will be opened. Like the gates of a prison are opened only when the prisoners are standing before the gates. The gates will not be opened before they get there. And the keepers of Jahannam will say, did not the messengers come to you from amongst yourselves, reciting to you the ayat of your Rabb and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours? And they will say, yes, but the word of torment has been justified against the disbelievers. They will say, yes, qalu bala. Yes, definitely they came, but we denied them. We refused to accept what they said. And it will be said to them, enter you the gates of Jahannam and stay therein forever. And indeed, what an evil abode for the arrogant. Today we are so arrogant about ourselves, about our wealth, about what little position Allah gave us. We are arrogant because we have this position and that position, forgetting that those positions are temporary even in this world. On the day of judgment, my brothers and sisters, people who are arrogant in this world will be humiliated in a way which we cannot even imagine. We ask Allah to save us from that humiliation. And the way to save yourself from that humiliation is not to be arrogant in this world. To be humble in this world, Allah will raise that person. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there was no one more humble than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those. I ask Allah to make us among these. The muttaqoon, people of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ
وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ وترى الملائكة حافين من حول العرش يسبحون بحمد ربهم وقضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين. Allah said, and those who had taqwa of their Rabb will be led to the Jannah in groups. They will not be driven. They will be led to the Jannah in groups. Till when they reach it, its gates are opened. The gates will be opened before their arrival as a sign of welcome. And its keepers will say, Salamun alaykum. They will say, Salamun alaykum. You have done well. So enter here to stay here forever. And the people will say, may Allah make us among those who will say these words. All praise and thanks be to Allah, who has fulfilled His promise to us and has made us inherit this land. We can dwell in Jannah where we will. How excellent a reward for the pious people, for the pious workers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the ayat of the grace and the glory and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِّينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ. Allah said, and you will see the angels surrounding the throne from all around, glorifying the praises of their Rabb. And they, all the creatures, will be judged with truth. And it will be said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabb of the Alameen. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and to accept your coming and to accept your salawat and to give you Ramadan, insha'Allah, in a state of health and tawfiq and iman and yaqeen. And to ask, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your ibadat in Ramadan and to enable you to continue those ibadat in the same way until the last day when you meet Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, and to accept all your du'as that you make before and after and in and after Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all harm. I ask Allah to protect this masjid from all harm. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all those who wish you evil. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn the hearts of people towards himself and to make you among those whose hearts are turned towards him, and to make and to fill your heart with his noor and with his muhabbat and with the muhabbat of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.